Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Sarah Claire Morton. Sarah Claire Morton is a spoken word artist. She is the creator and host of the local poetry music collaboration event, Beautiful Noise, and has performed in multiple venues across the country. She is currently working on her undergraduate degree in English with a minor in gender studies. Her new chapbook, entitled Fragile, was published in September. Hi, Sarah Claire. How are you doing?
Hi, Jan. Thanks for having me today.
It's great to have you. We've been trying to get this together for a while.
Yeah, it's perfect timing, so I feel pretty good about it.
All right. So just begin then.
This poem is titled Interim. The ice breaks and slowly changes from solid to liquid, inviting the earth to change with it as it cools the frozen ground, summoning springtime into existence. The air smells of indifference. It is stuck in the interim of seasons and has not yet made a choice as to who it is favoring. New growth is slightly hesitant to burst from soil to sunlight, just in case the face of frost is boldly waiting to take one last evening back into a dead, cold feeling, and my lungs are barely breathing. They don't take well to inconsistent ways of change and tend to cramp or stop or scream their way into a new phase, and the leaves change so willingly. From green to gold to red to brown to dead and down on the ground, crumpling beneath my feet on the gray, man-made cement street. So this next poem is the title poem for my new chapbook, Fragile. Skin is so similar to fabric. Cut and stitch, stretch and fold, grow with time and retire when it's old, bought and sold. Our past has grown like seeds to trees that hang heavy leaves with closed lids and forgotten memories. Sigh awaited thought into wind, and let our sadness float with the tide and unwind with thunderstorms thick and heavy in the sky. Tight, then torn. Our skin is so similar to fabric. We turn our torsos to both sides and glare at hips, then thighs. Mirrors are a curse from the gods of insecurities, and our fabric skins never seem to lay the right way on our perfect bone structures. Bend and twist your bones. Unlock and release from bend of knee to crease of toe. Embrace yourself. All alone, flat-backed, naked and warmed, among the grass of our strong earth, stretch your fingertips to the heavens, fully present, pure and defiled. Offer up yourself as fragile. So there are definitely many poems that are personal and talk a lot about my internal struggle and my internal movement, but there are a few that I have about our current political situation that I think, in moderation, are really important. And this is one of them. It's entitled Recoil. Consume the isms of American tradition. Knock it back with Irish whiskey and drunken ambitions. Never listen to what people ask for, but wait for. Blood to shed, knees to bend, hands to press, palms against, and hear what they beg for, what they're led towards, what we're fed for, the mother of the fatherless. Never let your bread spoil. Recoil and inspire the entire circle of the faithless, people who hate this, oh, so tasteless. Hate is. Resume position, spoken ammunition, make a face for. Artistic task force, take your place and give what they've asked for. Another fast horse, sad story, cheap glory, time won't mend. this day won't end its turmoils, recoil and inspire the entire circle of the faithless people who hate this, oh, so tasteless hate is. Provoke revisions on this empty mission to find the source of terror and force love. Never abort love. Hope and enforce love. Time won't mend. This day won't end its turmoil. So recoil and inspire the entire circle of the faithless. People who hate this. Oh, so tasteless hate is. So there's another piece that talks a little bit about the same thing, our current political situation. And this one is fun because it focuses on alliteration, which I'm purely a sucker for. And it's entitled Hopeful. A fast-paced, firecracking frenzy of freedom fighters. Bombard boulevards and back streets, not begging but demanding your undivided dedication to demoting democracy destroyers and relocating all radical right-wingers to a remote island infested with irony, inconsistency, and ignorance. They should feel right at home there. Dare to demonstrate your deep desire for an educated and dedicated demographic who donate days, dollars, and dedication to developing the underdeveloped. People progress when caring, pollinate cities polluted with a crying populace, post a petition to penetrate the politics of closed-minded critics who don't dare dance or dive deep into break beats because they really would rather ridicule our rhythm. I take a breath to recognize artistic minds. It's innocent and ignorant, naive and narrow-minded, to not notice the network of political power players, police, and patriots who tap, trace, and track each and every individual, especially people in potentially powerful positions. So keep creative concepts concealed and exciting, energetic, entrepreneurial energy incognito, because behind bureaucratic barriers, people plot and plan to spy on you, sneak up on you, scare you, seduce you, stop you. They are always watching. They are always waiting, because people are powerful.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Sarah Claire Morton. She's reading from her new book, her new chapbook entitled Fragile. Sarah Claire, I wanted to ask you about sort of the obvious, I guess, sound and rhythm, which you focus on in your work. I know that when you give readings that you perform, and people can't see right now, but you're standing here in the studio. And when you perform, often you recite from memory, you close your eyes, which is great. So I want to know, how much is your writing, the process of composing, grounded in the body for you? I don't know if that's something that you can talk about, but I'd like you to discuss that if you can.
Oh, very much so. And it's very important. I think it's based in a few things. Primarily, I guess I consider myself a spoken word artist for that aspect, that my work isn't necessarily made for written word, but it's made for spoken word. And as I grow and as my work evolves, it does turn more into a choice to either make written word or to make spoken word. And talking more about me closing my eyes and knowing most of my work off by heart. I mean, writing down the work for this show was a challenge. I have it all in my brain, and I write out loud, and I write when I'm swimming or I'm running or I'm moving. And my body normally provokes a lot of, my body movement provokes a lot of my writing. So it's very important for me to communicate that through the way that I move. And I speak that way. Anyone that has met me knows that I speak through my fingertips and my face and my hip movements. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Mm-hmm.
there's been a lot of discussions over the years about the poems that are on the page and poems that are on the stage. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get into that discussion, but, you know, do you see your poems primarily moving towards the page now, or
no? It's definitely, and again, to not get too deeply into that discussion, but when I first started performing. I mean, I've been writing my whole life, but I started performing in the slam poetry setting. And it's very easy to get into that setting and just mold your words into that mold that's created, that putting emphasis on and being very crazy and engaging. And as I started growing and traveling and learning, I started discovering my art form and that I am a poet and that they're what makes my work most intriguing is the fact that it's mine. So as I grow and my work changes, I have just inherently become more interested in making my work very interested to the reader. But when I read it, I do believe that that's when it really comes to life. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way for most poets. I would much rather hear a poet read their work than read it.
Well, sure. Well, I'm not sure that I'm clear on your answer, though. So are you saying that you're very grounded in the body still in the reading of it, and you're moving towards the page? Is that what
you're saying? Well, as I become more of a student, I'm getting better at crafting my work on the page.
Okay.
And I'm learning to appreciate that more.
Okay.
It was easier, since it's inherent for me to perform, it was easier just to perform, and now I find much more value in crafting it on the page.
Okay,
first.
Okay. How about some more?
Absolutely. This is an older piece, and I think it's a good segue from what we were talking about. I'm also a musician, and I spent some time in Spain as a nanny, and I learned how to dance flamenco, and this is a poem about that, blending the body into music. It's called Escucha. Listen. An instrumental accompaniment. Elbows raised, wrists arched, chin up, ole. Can you hear it? Music moving through my hips as they oscillate. My favorite way to communicate. This body is an instrument too, with crescendo lips and rhythmic fingertips. Perfect pitch flows through my toes, pounding beats through my bloodstream, scaling from minor calves to major thighs, slow. An emotive deep sound is laced around my waist. Can you hear it? The range of my spine, baritone, tenor, alto, soprano, solos wrapped around my neck, screaming falsettos through the facets of my face, downbeat through jaw, emphasis on chin, upbeat through cheekbone. The endless lights and darks of my eyes scream verse after verse after verse. I can sing you songs with a long gaze, finding the melody in my hair, each strand, a different sound, each root, a different form. Clapping, finger snapping, rough voices, soft pitches, gentle rhythms. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? Will you listen? All right, and this one, in my new chapbook, Fragile, this is probably about the closest I get to a love poem, which isn't so much a love poem. It's entitled Remembrance. Remembering deserves a long sigh and a shot of good whiskey. Clink, pour, swallow. New loafers, scented lotions, poems quoted in gentle motions. I kissed your internal wounds, which my previous kisses had been provoking. I was hopeless. And you were open. So open that my sun-kissed skin snuck in and blinded your focus. Clink, pour, swallow. You said, promise you won't turn us into a poem. I said I'd try, but could not promise, yet here I am with pen and pad, shedding the shell of us onto thin, frail paper. I was thin and frail and painful. You were in the now and grateful. Clink, pour, swallow. Slow dancing, fancy dress, whiskey gingers and stilts, silk stilettos, that night which never ended, opened up our love-lined windows and drew a golden tightrope between us. Yes, you danced for me. As I commanded ridiculous poses, you twisted, contorted, bent, and became broken. Clink. Pour. Swallow. This next one is in a similar vein. It's entitled Bottle Draining. Dead flowers wilt at daybreak. I awake to watch their heads tilt. Empty bottles still sticky around the rims with remnants of last night's extravagance. A week stacked and spilling from the sink. A week scattered and spread about the counter. Count the time you've seen your lover's face and wonder where the magic went and who she replaced you with. The weather's breaking. Time for spring changing, lifestyle cleaning, ridding of heavy habits and force of healthy living. We drink at nighttime. In the beginning, morning is difficult. Heavy head, heavy body. But repetition of bottle draining makes the heavy feelings just another morning after. All right, so music is really important to me, and this poem is entitled Jazz. It's the sun setting, giving light to the moon. It's the darkness. It's the silence. It's the sky illuminating with specks of lost souls. It's the blank canvas waiting to become beautiful. It's the piano keys hurting underneath the right hands. It's the horsehair shed from a violinist's bow during an extemporaneous expression of emotion. It's the novel torn, weathered, and branded by an avid reader. It's the juice of a clementine. It's the smoothness of silk. It's the purity in the laugh of a child. It's the texture of a white lily. It's love. Love without a beginning, without an ending, without expectation, without intention. It's being touched by a thousand raindrops. It's seeing God in every set of eyes you encounter. It's lucid dreaming. It's a Parisian pastry. It's the curvature of a man's jawbone. It's a naked woman's body. It's love. Love without a beginning, without an ending, without expectation, without intention, without a definition. It just is.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Sarah Clare Morton. He's reading from her new chapbook entitled Fragile. And also, that last poem was from an earlier chapbook, right? Mm-hmm. What was the name of that?
That was entitled Silently Screaming.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's also available in the same used bookstores around Pittsburgh.
And also online at pittsburghmusicculture.com.
It's actually pghmusicculture.com.
Oh, sorry.
No,
yes.
That's okay.
No, that's important. pghmusicculture.com. Very important. But one thing that you do that I love is you do what poets need to do. You do a lot of readings. You sell your books around town and online and at used bookstores. I mean, that's important to get your work around. And can you talk about, you know, that impulse of getting your work out? You know, you organize readings too.
I think I started doing readings when I was 15. I was going to Oakland Catholic High School, and I stumbled across the Shadow Lounge in East Liberty and did a reading there. And the owner, Justin Strong, who I love and is definitely a brother to me, said, hey, take two of my cards just in case you lose one. And he made a space for me to perform. And performing really gets you into an environment that provokes more reading and provokes other people to read and then collaborate with you. And when I started Beautiful Noise, it was to create a space for poets that so they can make money and have a monthly place to go. But it was mostly to create a space for myself where I could be performing with different musicians every month, and I could really have that structure that similar to what school or work would give you to make sure that I was growing in my art form, because it's the foundation really of what I do and what I want to be doing.
Mm-hmm. And Beautiful Noise is what? Can you talk about what it is?
Beautiful Noise is amazing. It really changed, and you've done a Beautiful Noise.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Noise really changed in a way that I didn't expect. It started as this project that I thought of to blend poetry with music, and I feel a lot of times, at least in Pittsburgh, I feel as though poetry is labeled as slam poetry, and there are many different ways poetry can manifest, and Beautiful Noise was taking music to help highlight and intrigue people into poetry without really being aware of that. And each Beautiful Noise features four collaboration teams consisting of a poet and a musician. And I team up these teams and give them a free practice space and months to practice and highlight them in this performance. And it always ends with a DJ that really crafts his or her art form and focuses on a specific genre. And it's focusing around really people that craft their work and work on crafting their work, where open mics are very important, I think. They help people discover a lot about themselves and about their reading. But in a city such as Pittsburgh that's so small, we need an environment that is people that have crafted their work. Mm-hmm. So that's what Beautiful Noise is. And the next Beautiful Noise is February 2nd at the Brillo Box, featuring myself with singer-songwriter Autumn Ayers and Matt Calvetti and Chris Bellin, who are two musicians. Brian Francis, who is an incredible poet who is circulating in the slam poetry scene right now, and Thomas Lerner, who I love. He's mm-hmm. he's really incredible.
And if people wanted to know more about that, do you have a website or?
Mm-hmm. You can find information about that through pghmusicculture.com.
Oh, great.
But most importantly through the MySpace, because everyone has a MySpace
okay.
now, and that's /beautifulnoise.
Oh, great. Okay, we have time for some more poems.
Great. So I'm growing, and I think as you grow, you learn a lot of things. And this poem talks a lot about learning the difference between family when you're young and family when you're older. And this poem is called Grown. I don't want to go. It always seems so cold there, that place which never grows, never changes, and is filled with isolated phrases like, I'm sorry, and I love you. These historic phrases have lost their meanings. They are no longer statements, but have become questions. Are you sorry? Do you love me? I am submerged in a sea of responsibility and am swimming towards you so quickly that my muscles ache and my lungs are burning. I don't love this. Are you this? If we could stay suspended in memories of Christmas Eve or on the beach when I was 3, then I would come around more often. This poem is also about youth, but about the purity of youth and a memory from my youth. It's entitled Easter Sun. There's a bench right there, stuck to ground in grass and green and Easter sun. In youth I yell, swim in song off key and perfectly young. In youth I yawn, rub eyes with sleep coming nearer to spoil my fun. You're here, so tired, so endless, awaiting the crash of my head on your lap, in your safety on the bench in the green Easter sun. My sleep settles in as we sit. You swim in a song, hushaby. Don't you cry. Go to sleepy little baby. I find myself being inspired a lot by music. I really love funk and soul from the late 60s and early 70s and love music inspired by that as well. And one of my favorite modern singers is Patti Griffin, who's a folk singer. And this poem was definitely inspired by one of her songs. And each stanza in this poem is concluded by a, a line from one of her songs. And I'll pause before that. An empty shadow, a cold gust of hate. An angry mother, a room without shade. A box full of lies, a lover tongue-tied. I'm willing, but I'm all alone. I know a cold as it gets. This icebox was made for my frozen sins, my absence of truth and my internal war. I'll fight with myself till solitude swells and silence is still in my head, silent and froze in the mud. Swallow your pride, swallow and die. Swallow it hard, then sing me a song. Sing of a time when love went away for forever and never came home. I know a darkness that's darker than cold. A wind that blows as cold as it gets blew out the light of my soul. This next poem is not a personal experience. It's about a woman who experienced her father dying. And so the man in this poem is someone who has passed away. And the woman in this poem is the woman who's still living. And it's untitled. After his second surgery, there was an eternity of struggle. To get through it, to get healthy, to make it, to let go. She tells me this from her heart. A heart which has been sewn back together and carefully placed back inside that delicate yet resilient frame of hers. Her skin is fair, freckled, scarred with time and change and knowledge. Her face is soft, welcoming, patient, and filled with browns and blues and creams and hazel. She is thin, yet practical with her consumption. Salty, sweet, sugary. She sees no need in depriving herself of simple enjoyments when complex pleasures such as love and life and friendship can disappear so quickly. She could run until her feet quit, or she sweat all of her body's salt to her skin's surface. After his second surgery, she ran around the world, searching for a different ending to an unfortunate story.
It's the poetry of Sarah Claire Morton. Thank you so much. It was great.
Oh, it was lovely. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Tonight's sound engineer is Amy Sutton. Please tune in every Tuesday night at 7 for Prosody. 91.3 WYEP.